Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Green Bay is coming to town. Green Bay Packers versus the Houston Texans. I don't think Green Bay is an elite team. They're better than the Texans, yes, but I don't think they're an elite team. I'm going to lay out the case at 12:20. We're also going to hear from Stanford Routes on WSW here on Sports Radio 610. J.J. Watt, going to meet with the media types at 2. You're going to hear him on the afternoon show. Here's J.J. Watt talking about his childhood hero who wore the green and yellow that you're going to see on the field Sunday at NRG. Pour one out for the Reverend of Defense, Reggie White.
I knew people loved him. I knew he was an incredible player. I knew it was cool to see how much people adored him. I mean, obviously growing up in Wisconsin, I knew what it looked like for people to be fans, and then I knew what it looked like for people to be more than fans, and I thought that's what people were for Reggie. I'm always chasing him, I'm always chasing him. It's incredible. I mean, I grew up idolizing Reggie. Reggie was my favorite player growing up. I knew he was a great player when I was a kid, when I didn't know anything about stats or football or anything. To be accomplishing some of these things and to see how incredible he really was from a stat perspective and from what he accomplished as a player, it's unbelievable. And if there's anybody that I'm going to be number two to, I'm all right being number two to Reggie White.
He's number two, but it's not by much. I mean, he's had a Reggie White career, man.
Well, you say that he's had a Reggie White career. The one thing that happened in Reggie White's career at about this point, at the age of 31, and we know JJ's into his 30s now, was Reggie White's moved on from Philadelphia, where he was already a legend, and he went to an organization that he felt was in a better chance to win a Super Bowl, which JJ has made clear is his ultimate goal. And as the trade rumors circulate, the Texans are front and center. No matter what news outlet you're looking at, they are front and center. Could JJ Watt follow in the path of Reggie White? Maybe not necessarily signing with another team, because that's after next year, but approving a potential trade in the coming weeks to where he tries to do what Reggie White did, start a new legacy somewhere else, and most importantly, get that piece of jewelry that everyone at this stage in their career of J.J. Watt and Reggie White craves.
Look, you owe it to J.J., and I know fans are going to, you don't owe him anything, he plays for the Texans, just ride it out, but I think you owe it to your team to do it. And I also think that's why this coming game is so important for the Houston Texans. You go 1-6 and you have no chance of getting to the playoffs. I think even in the building right now, the most optimistic of optimistic people in there, Mark Vandermeer, I'm looking at you. Even Mark Vandermeer at 1-6 will say in his heart of hearts, that's about it. That's a wrap, in terms of making the playoffs. So then what? When would you get the most value for J.J. Watt? In the offseason, after another year under the belt, and who knows how he's going to be physically, or right now, with less than 2 weeks before the trade, less than a week, really, after this Sunday, before the end of the trade deadline, when people are going to start saying, we have a real chance to win it all. There are teams that are in the mix right now that have a chance to win it all if they just get that extra piece. That's when they overpay. You owe it to your team at this point if they start 1-6.
Now, you and I are both okay with the Texans trading J.J. Watt. Who else do you think should be up for grabs with the Houston Texans? Because Albert Breer's throwing out names. Lock and Forest throwing out names. Who do you think should be up for grabs for the Houston Texans when it comes to potentially trading guys and trying to stockpile some picks and some assets for 2021?
I think, you know, the obvious ones are your picks. So why don't you say your picks?
Well, I think that J.J. and Will Fuller for the right price could be moved. I think if Randall Cobb, if someone wants to pay Randall Cobb, more power to him. I just find it hard to believe that anyone's going to want the contract that the Texans gave him that was laughable when it happened. If you could trade Whitney Merciless for, honestly, a Nerf football, I would do that at this point because you can get rid of that contract. And I like Whitney. But, I mean, my God, $14 million next year? Go ahead. You can figure it out. Whether it's finding someone on the markets or whatever, you can figure that out. So if you can get out of Whitney Merciless's contract, which is one of the bad contracts that you have for next year, go ahead and do it. Hell, I'd even throw in a sixth if someone's going to take that contract. So I would get rid of Whitney. I would get rid of Cobb. I would trade Kenny Stills. Just because I don't think they're using him, and maybe you can get a better look at guys like Kiki QT and Isaiah Coulter, Aaron Wilson. So I would do that.
Maybe that's why he was asking.
I'm not necessarily gung-ho about trading Brandon Cooks or Will Fuller, unless it is like a second-round pick or a first-round pick for Will Fuller, just because you're going to need receivers next year, and the three guys that I just mentioned – are all free agents. The only guy that's for sure returning to your team next year is Randall Cobb and Kiki QT. So if Deshaun does feel like Fuller's his guy, then even maybe the second round pick doesn't make sense. But I would listen for Cooks, but I would be hesitant to trade those guys.
I agree with your obvious ones there. I think J.J. Watt is the most obvious. Will Fuller would be the second most obvious. And I'm with you also if you can get guys to somebody to overpay. Whitney, Merciless, Stills and Cobb are relatively obvious as well. But here's the thing. Teams are not going to – I mean, they're going to be after your best players. They're going to, you know, want to be after your best players. Zach Cunningham is one of your best players. Bradley Roby is one of your best players. And so that's where it gets a little bit dicey because these are both guys that you think can be a part of your immediate future. But if somebody comes in – I mean – I would consider anyone outside of Deshaun. I'd consider Laremy Tunsil. If somebody comes in with a Bill O'Brien type of trade, you know, a first and a second, or, you know, whatever it may be, you have to consider it because you're not going – you don't want to be on a gerbil wheel. You don't want to be good but not good enough. You either have to take that step back with Deshaun and become the Miami Dolphins and get a lot of draft picks and get good real fast, or you're just going to kind of be spinning if you don't accumulate, because they don't have cap space and they don't have draft picks.
The Tunsil trade was a disaster.
Disaster.
And it's not because Tunsil isn't a baller. He's one of the best left tackles in football. But I said it when it happened. When you don't have a good coach, you don't make win-now moves. You don't do that. And as important as a left tackle is, other teams that needed left tackles have been able to trade for the Trent Williams of the world or draft guys and develop them, and it's worked out fine. When you're sitting, when you make a win-now move with Laremy Tunsil and you have a coach who wets the bed when you have an opportunity to win in Kansas City because he doesn't have a play and then he wants to fake a punt and then the offense wants to disappear, that's a failed year.
Yeah.
Then when you start off the season 0-4 because that coach can't get out of his own way, it's even worse. And now you don't have a first or a second this year, so you're not going to have cheap labor, for lack of a better term, on a team.
No, that's what it is.
The best thing you can have in the NFL is cheap labor.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
If you just look around the league, Baltimore, despite the fact they had all that success last year, they've made trades for win-now guys, and they didn't have to give up first and second. They made a fifth for Calais Campbell, trade a fifth for Calais Campbell. Whatever they traded for Marcus Peters, they have four rookies starting. The Chiefs have Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They have some guys that are on their rookie deals. Next year,
outside of some offensive linemen, Kiki QT, Lonnie Johnson, Justin Reed, nobody's really on their rookie deal. So you're not really going to have cheap labor. You're going to have to fill the holes by bringing in veterans, which costs more. You don't have significantly impactful players on rookie deals. Zach Cunningham, his new contract's going to kick in.
Right.
You don't have that. And that's where you handcuff yourself more and more, especially when you don't have the draft picks and you're going to have to make all the decisions we're talking about. The Tunsil trade was a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Not because he's not good, but because, and this is what I said about GM Bill O'Brien. Outside of being one of the worst that we've ever seen, he was at a disadvantage because GM Bill O'Brien had to have Coach Bill O'Brien coach his team.
Right.
And it was a disaster. It was a disaster. The Texans would be better off right now with the first round pick last year and the first round pick and the second round pick coming into this season, because they couldn't be worse off than they are right now at 1-5.
I totally agree. And at this point, I would actually listen to a trade, an overpay trade, for Laremy Tunsil, to be honest. He would be the last person I would trade just because of the impact it has on Deshaun Watson and his contract and dead cap and all that, all the grit that's involved in his contract. But you're listening to every single offer that's out there. You have to, or else you're just going to be here again with the next coach, presuming he doesn't, hopefully he'll coach him up better, but in terms of the roster, you don't have the pieces. You don't have the young, cheap talent, and you're kind of burdened on the cap as well, so you can't sign some free agents.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. What do you think the market is for J.J.? Is it a second and maybe something else? What do you think someone would give up for J.J. Watt?
I said a second yesterday. I'm going to stay with that because I'm in the school of thought that somebody's going to overpay right now for J.J. And not just the Steelers. I know that's the romantic one. You know, the Steelers come in with the Watt brothers and all that. But there are a lot of teams that are at the top of the heap. And maybe some NFC teams. Maybe, I don't know about the Packers even. But that's another romantic type story. But it doesn't matter. We're not in it for the story. We're in it for the most you can get. I think you can get a second for him.
There's no way someone's trade. I think you can get a second for J.J. Yeah. for sure, especially given that you get him this year and then next. Yeah. If they put in the tape of the Tennessee game and they watch J.J. Watt, I mean, that's a steal.
That's all you need to know.
What he did Sunday, that's as good as it gets. That was J.J. Watt as good as we could have seen him. There was not much more he could have done, and they still gave up 600 yards.
Yeah.
So if anybody's watching the tape this year, J.J. Watt, they got to want J.J. You can't just trade J.J. anywhere, though, right?
Right.
You have to do right by him, right? You can't just ship him off somewhere.
The only thing doing right by him is send him to a contender. I mean, how do you think San Francisco would look with J.J. Watt giving up a second-round pick?
They got D. Ford and Bosa, though, so I don't know.
J.J. moving around in the middle?
What about New Orleans?
New Orleans.
They wanted Clowney.
Yeah, they wanted Clowney. They were even going to try to
fudge
it a little
bit. What about Baltimore?
Baltimore, man, Calais Campbell, J.J. Watt.
Yeah, how about that?
Matthew Judon. I don't know what the cap space is there, but someone would want J.J. Watt. A contender would want J.J. Watt. Kenny Stills, at this point, you're not using him, right? I mean,
no, he's out there as well.
This goes back to the Tunsil trade where you threw in the second-round pick. Kenny Stills, you got to just move on from that and maybe get a look at some of the younger guys for 2021.
Yeah, after, especially depending on what happens this weekend. 1-6, you're totally done. Don't even hold out hope. Sorry, it ain't going to happen. Especially with the division the way it is. Titans are gone, but somebody else from the division is going to win. And then the AFC, you got 11 teams with a better record right now. It'll be at least 11 again next week that you're going to have to jump four of those just to get into the picture. So you lose this weekend, you're totally done. You let the word out to everybody's agent, everybody's general manager, we're open for business.
Are you concerned about who's going to make those trades, though?
That leads to my point that I texted you about before the show.
Before I answer that question, let me take it away from this specific situation in sports.
I am not. I am not happy. There's still time to fix this problem. Can I tell you what it is?
Yes.
Cal McNair needs to take a page out of his daddy's playbook. Bob McNair, I believe it was when Dom Capers was getting fired, he was out, brought in an interim general manager of sorts that had nothing to do with the current organization. He brought in Dan Reeves as a consultant, but he was doing general manager things. In other words, Bob McNair wouldn't talk to the interim general manager, whoever that was, I don't even remember, or maybe there wasn't even one name. He would talk to Dan Reeves. And that way, you bring an outside guy, someone like Dan Reeves, to the Texans right now. You tell Jack Easterby, go play somewhere else. You know, go do something else. And that way, you can have a bad guy. You can have someone who has no ties to anyone in the organization. You can have someone who can be logical and cold-hearted if he needs to be, and tell you and be honest. He can be objective and honest with you. I think Cal McNair right now, today, yesterday, needs to call someone in the NFL who is available, whether it's an analyst with some general manager experience. I'm not going to say Charlie Casserly because I know that he knows a lot about this organization, but someone of that ilk. Say, come in, I'm hiring you to be our consultant, our interim general manager. You're not even going to deal with Romeo Crennel. You're not going to deal with, like, day-to-day personnel moves like signing, you know, Kahale and bring Kahale Waring up. You're going to deal with the big picture. You're gonna find our issues, our problems. You're gonna look at our salary cap. You're gonna look at our roster. You're gonna look at our rookies. You're gonna evaluate them. You're gonna help me make decisions, and then we're going to make the decisions, you and me. And that way, it's kind of a consultant. It's a true consultant that has no ties to the organization.
Why don't they just hire Lewis Riddick tomorrow?
Tomorrow,
take him out of the Monday night booth and just let him be the GM.
No, no.
The end.
Even if it's just interim, even just like consultant. Because it's going to be hard for Jack East to be, oh, man, I hate to let go of J.J. Watt. I don't want to be that guy. Okay, let's let Lewis Riddick come in and do it and make that decision.
I'm a people person.
The actual GM. Yeah. Be interesting. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. My gosh.
Take a page out of your dad's playbook.
Aaron Rodgers is cocky as hell. We kind of like it. But is he writing checks that his mouth can't cash? We'll discuss next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, Texans trade rumors running wild. 713-572-4610. Everyone can be had except Deshaun, according to the OG. I'm okay with that. Some guys I would trade for nothing. The Whitney Mercilesses, the Randall Cobbs. If you can get rid of those guys, that's great. Will Fuller's, J.J. Watts for the right price. I'm open to that. 713-572-4610. Let's go to Tanner. Tanner, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Yo, what's up, Landry and OG?
Hey
man, OG, me and you had an in-depth conversation about 3 weeks ago about this whole concept of the lack of organic young talent on the team being the main deficiency of the roster. But here's my only issue with going full wholesale. There's already a talent deficiency, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And if you start wheeling and dealing some of the few talented players you have four above-average starters on your entire defensive roster, you can't flip an entire defense in a year. You just can't. So unless you're totally fine with going 4-12 again next year, you don't listen to an offer for Roby. You only move Cunningham if the deal's so sweet that you have to do it. And I just don't think trading – assets that the few talented assets you have on defense makes sense. The Tunsil trade puts you in a bad spot, but that's not the worst trade. The worst trade Bob made is two trades. The Duke Johnson for a third rounder should be guillotine worthy, and the Kerryon Conley for a third rounder should be guillotine worthy. Those are your lottery tickets that you can hit quality players on.
Yep.
I don't think the Tunsil trade's that bad. Look at Seattle. They made a similar trade for a safety who has far less impact on the game just by positional value for Jamal Adams. And their roster has the same deficiencies the Texans do. They have a great quarterback with some quality weapons with deficiencies on the defense, particularly in the front seven outside of Bobby Wagner. So that trade in a vacuum is not bad if you don't take in consideration all the other crap trades they made leading up to it. You know what I mean?
I admire your editing there.
Tanner's a good call. I mean, he breaks it down very smoothly. I'm with him on Roby and Cunningham. I don't think you trade Zach Cunningham unless it's just like someone just likes him so much they'll give you a first or something like that.
That's my whole point.
Roby, to me, is a guy that you need because he's the only guy on this team that I look at and say, that right there is a bargain. Yeah. That is a bargain right there.
Yeah.
Without Bradley Roby, this defense is probably giving up 1,000 yards a game.
Yeah.
So, Roby, I'm with him on Roby, But he is right.
But all I'm saying is I'm with him on that as well, on Roby and Zach Cunningham. I do think you can build any team, offense, defense, special teams, in a lot quicker time than most people believe. It's been proved over and over again. It's been proved that you can take half a step back, and rebuild. But I will say this. I do agree with him. It wouldn't be my first choice by any stretch. My point is everyone, including guys that has an $18 million cap hit next year, which can be negotiated, of course, with the following team in Laramie Tunsil. I'm saying everyone's available. It's we got to talk price. You know, Roby is a bargain. I mean, he's making $4.5 million this year, and look at the receivers he's faced already, and he's got another one coming in this week.
Yep, Davante Adams. Mm-hmm. That's probably going to be Roby's assignment. 713-572-4610. Reset what you said that Cal should do that his daddy did. That Bob did. What did you say exactly that he should do?
Yeah, a lot of people are reacting to this, and I think it's a really good idea. I go back to when I was covering the team, you know, as a columnist. There was a lot of controversy because when they fired, well, actually before they fired Dom Capers, Bob McNair brought in Dan Reeves when he saw the wheels coming off as a consultant, basically an interim general manager without being a general manager. And Dan Reeves and Bob McNair. I remember seeing them driving around together on the golf cart out at the practices. They would meet every day, multiple times a day, and Reeves would look at the roster, look at the salary cap, look at the draft equity you have, and say, this is what you need to do, this, in my opinion. This is what I think could happen. And he didn't have any personal relationships with anybody on the team. He didn't have his legacy on the line because he didn't draft anybody on the team like Casserly did. So he could come in objectively and say, this is what you should do. This is what I would do. This is my recommendation. And you can be cold-hearted that way. Like let's suppose there was a Dan Reeves out there. You mentioned Lewis Riddick. I think that would be a perfect one. I'm not going to say you're going to be the general manager, but you're going to be the general manager until we decide on one, and it might be you. You come in. We talk every day. Cal McNair was around. He saw his dad do this. He needs to take that page out of his book. We talk every day. Forget Jack Easterby. I'm not listening to him. You tell me what you think on this roster. Let's go through the roster. J.J. Watt, what should we do? Well, I think you should trade him. I'm just examples here. Bradley Roby. Nah, man, his contract is too valuable. You need that presence. You're going to draft a cornerback in the second or third round, in my view, blah, blah, blah. Just go down every aspect. What about the salary cap? You got to get rid of McKinney.
Martin.
You got to get rid of Martin. I'm trying to think of some others that have
Duke.
Duke Johnson.
Brandon Dunn.
That'll free up $30 million.
That's $20 million. $21 million
right
there.
I thought it was 30. So he comes in. He's a fixer. He's an anonymous, not so anonymous, but in terms of like his responsibility and his presence in the organization and his ties to the organization, he's not tied to the organization. He comes in and he's a fixer. And he can say, you know, blame him. Blame me. I come in. I say trade J.J. Watt. Everybody gets upset. Blame Lewis Riddick. He was my advisor. We just did what he said. I think it's the smartest thing to do because I don't trust Jack Easterby to make a smart trade.
Well, you shouldn't.
Because he hasn't.
Shouldn't. Yeah, he hasn't, yeah. And it's been bad, and the cap manipulation. Mm-hmm. That's why you have
bring
to
bring in
fix
a consultant,
it.
Man.
He's been the cap guy with O'Brien. He undermined Olsen. Olsen ended up leaving. Yeah. I mean, and he was they were on record saying that he was the one dealing with the cap because he had an internship in Jacksonville.
And if it were me, and again, just using this as an example, not saying it's him, but it would be a good one. If I'm Lewis Riddick, I tell Cal McNair, I'll do it, but the only person I'm talking with is you. That's it. I don't want Jack Easterby even in the building when I'm there. Because I'm going to tell you exactly what I think about this.
I think they should consider hiring Lewis Riddick. I mean, I really think.
But I'm saying in the interim.
I like the two TV guys. We keep hearing about all these GMs, and there are some good ones. Don't get me wrong. There's some very good ones. Mm-hmm. But I like the two TV guys that whenever I watch them, I think these guys could be GMs. And I'm talking about Daniel Jeremiah and Lewis Riddick.
Yeah.
Those are the two guys that I like right there. I would hire either one of those guys to run the Texans.
Get Jeremiah in here Riddick. And say, you know what? I'm going to give you $200,000 for the next 3 months. I want you to tell me everything you honestly believe about our roster.
I think both of those guys would be very good. Really, really do. 713-572-4610. It's been Glenn, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
How you gentlemen doing today?
Hey.
John, I agree with you, but my thing was, If I was Cal McNair, I would form me a committee starting with Andre Johnson, Wade Smith, Justin Pitt, Self Payne, some of the original Texans, because we want to avoid what we went through with Charlie Kasser and Don Cable.
Let me stop you right there real quick, because I like your idea, but that is for when you're hiring a general man. I'm talking about right now to come in and basically bring an Uzi, you know, bring an AK and just shoot down the things that need to be shot down and make the tough decisions with your hands.
Basically
clean.
Strip the house down before you rebuild it.
Yep.
Strip it down.
Be a fixer.
Strip down everything, take out the cabinets, all that, get the mold out.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden you can start building
and
it
then,
after the season.
And then whether it's me or whether it's the next guy, they're going to have salary cap, they're going to have draft picks, and they're going to have, you know, a clean slate.
I love Andre Johnson. I just don't know why people think he would be a good GM. I know he said he wanted to, but he also said when he quit, and maybe there was more to it. Maybe he didn't want to work for King Bill, but he said that he didn't like how much time he had to put into it.
Mm-hmm.
General manager's even worse. Like, you're on the phones even more. I think the desire for Andre Johnson to be a general manager, he's going to be a part of the organization for the next coach. There's no doubt.
I'd love for him to be part of that committee.
But
that
I
he
just
was
don't
about.
Know that he's a general manager. It's the same mistake Laker fans made when they wanted Magic Johnson to be their coach.
Well, here's my biggest
point. Just because you were a good player doesn't
totally
mean you
agree.
Can do this type of stuff.
Totally. Here's my biggest point. The reason I think you should bring in a consultant right now is because you've got a head start on everybody except for Atlanta. You got a really big – use it. Use the head start. You don't want to, you know, peter around, putter around and say, well, we might make the playoffs. And then what? You know, just rip the Band-Aid off with some dude that doesn't care about the bleeding. You know?
Good idea.
That's what you need to do.
Good idea. It's been done. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. It's WSW, so we're going to talk to Stanford Rout and Aaron Rodgers. Does he have the Texans right where they want him? Or do the Texans have the Packers right where they want them? We'll discuss next. Packers coming off a beatdown at the hands of the Tampa Bay Bucks. They started out 4-0. They're 4-1 heading into the game against the Texans. Brings up the question, do the Texans have the Packers where they want them? Or are they in trouble? Here's Aaron Rodgers with Pat McAfee talking about why losing Sunday to the Bucks the way they did could actually be a good thing.
I mean, I think we all need that a little bit. When the complacency starts to sink in and you start kind of feeling yourself a little bit, it's always good to kind of get knocked down a little bit. And look, it happened. You know, we came into the season, not an unknown, but not many people talking about us, even though we were 13-3 in an NFC Championship. Then we win 4 games, pretty convincingly. People are like, they're the best team in the NFL. And I think it can be a good thing. I'm not saying, look, nobody wants to lose to, you know, figure things out. But you also can find ways to positively move forward from difficult situations. We got our butts kicked. You know, I think it's something that we can learn from.
They can. I mean, we'll see where it goes from there. And we're going to see up close and personal this week.
It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out because the combined win-loss record in their 4 wins with the teams was 7-15. They played some bad teams. They played the Lions. They played the Vikings. They played some very bad teams. So you wonder, was Tampa Bay just an any given Sunday situation, or was it a situation where the Green Bay Packers just the first time they play a team that's pretty good, although they did beat the Saints without Michael Thomas, so I'll give them that. But the first time they do that, they end up losing? Or is that just one of those games where you lose and then you bounce back?
I would tend to think that it was just the given Sunday. You know, it was just they got – it wasn't their day. They got whipped because, yeah, they beat some average to below average teams, and I'm including the Saints because, like you said, they didn't have Michael Thomas, but they're still very well coached, very – very good elsewhere. I mean, Kamara played, you know. So it's not just the teams they played. They were racking up points. I mean, they were just destroying these teams. And we saw how close they lost to the Vikings, but you know, how the Texans might have even made things close with Baltimore for a while. And you know, and that they beat the pants off these teams. 34-31. I mean, I'm talking about in terms of their offense. 34 points against the Vikings, 42 No, it was 43 points against the Vikings, 42 against the Lions, 37 against the Saints. They were racking up points. It wasn't just like, they squeaked by some average teams. They racked it up on them. So I would tend to think they're closer to the really good team than the average team.
The question would be, what are the Texans? Because if we divide just the quarters of the season, and that's how we look at the season, the first four, the second four, the third four, and the fourth four. First four, obviously, was a disaster. That's why you ended up firing your coach. That's why the King went down.
Mm-hmm.
Second four, you dominated Jacksonville. Not a very good team, but you dominated them. And you moved the ball very effectively on the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
And ended up being a two-point conversion away from winning the game. In those two games, in the second quarter, the Texans have averaged 33 points per game and 449 yards. Over the course of the season, that would be the second highest in both categories.
Yeah.
So the Seattle Seahawks, I think, averaged 33.8. Texans have averaged 33 the last two. And 449, you'd be second in yards.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Texans closer to what we've seen the last two games, or are they closer to what we've seen the last four? I think there's really two answers for this.
Yeah.
Because I think the offense is closer to what we've seen the last two.
Okay.
But I think the defense over six, that's what it is.
Yeah.
The defense ain't going anywhere. This defense is still just as bad, but I think the offense is such to where they have chances in these Green Bay and in these Tennessee games because the offense can at least carry their weight.
I'll agree with that. And it's funny because Bill O'Brien is somewhere, you know, sitting down, sipping a Coors Light, thinking, well, it couldn't have gotten any worse than getting fired. Well, he looks worse now because of this. His defense, the players he brought in, it looks awful. And the offense looks better without him. I mean, that's what's happening.
713-572-4610 if you want to get in. It's 12:41 on a Wednesday. You know what that means. Time for WSW. Former NFL cornerback, pride of U of H, and an Instagram model in his spare time, Stanford Routes joins the show. Stan, love that Louis Vuitton bag, baby. Looking good on the gram.
Landry, I need you to give me a better intro than that. I am not no Instagram model. Come on now, Landry. Put some respect on my name. Just because the Texas Longhorns actually didn't get trampled this past weekend don't mean you get to go ahead and introduce me like that. Come on now. Do better than that, Grapevine. Come on.
Give him another shot.
All right, former NFL cornerback, pride of U of H, one of our favorites.
Not the most Stanford Routes intro I've ever seen.
Joins the show right now. Stanford, did Romeo, your former head coach, make the right decision going for two on Sunday in Nashville?
No, I think that's pretty clear that he didn't make the right decision simply because if they would have scored the touchdown and just kicked the extra point, they would have been up by 8 points. Which means that now you got to force the Tennessee Titans to go with the length of the field in about a minute and 45, a minute and 50 seconds, which is something that already is tough to do. And then they got to score a touchdown and get the 2-point conversion. So I don't think that was the right decision at all. But I understand he wanted to try to put the game out of reach. But we also have to remember, you're a defensive man by trade. That's your baby. That's your bread and butter. Three Super Bowl titles with the New England Patriots. So you have to make sure that if that's going to be what you hang your hat on, your side of the ball has to come through in that situation. So if a defense cannot hold a quarterback, hold a team that is predominantly run-based from driving the length of the field, scoring a touchdown and a 2-point conversion, then, what are we really doing here?
I hear you, but I also think because he's a defensive coach, he knew what was going on out there, and they had no chance of stopping the Titans. I mean, they gave up 600 yards, the most in franchise history since 2003.
And why the hell do you not have a chance at stopping Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs? Oh, yeah, that's right. They weren't playing the Chiefs. They weren't playing the Packers.
No, but
they
saw the flow of the game that they were already giving up 450 yards, and Tannehill was playing, and obviously Derrick Henry was gashing them, and I know they weren't going to run the ball, but you could still get the ball in Derrick Henry's hands.
Yes, you can, but the point is that why was that an issue all along? You're going against the Tennessee Titans that is a run-based team. That is how the play action is so effective for Ryan Tannehill over the last 17 games. That's why he's been playing so well. The point what I'm trying to make is, if you're going against Russell Wilson, if you're going against Tom Brady, you're going against Drew Brees, you're going against Aaron Rodgers, then you know what? I understand it. I get it. but you should not have that level of confidence, or should I say that dearth of level of confidence against a Ryan Tannehill, Tennessee Titans run-based offense is all I'm saying.
So you're one of those. You're one of those who still minimizes Ryan Tannehill like he hasn't proven himself as maybe one of the second-tier quarterbacks in the league. I mean, you're talking about him like he's Trent Dilfer or something, Stanford.
Well, no. What I'm saying to you is Ryan Tannehill is playing very well right now for the Tennessee Titans. But it is all predicated on – that's the SAT word for you, Landry. It is all predicated on the success of the run game. You see how Derrick Henry is gashing them. And then guess what? First quarter, we're seeing Tennessee Titans, they're moving the ball. Derrick Henry's gashing them. But guess what? Now Zach Cunningham, I forget the other backup linebacker that was in there for Bernard McKinney.
Tyrell Adams.
Exactly. Yes, Adams. You see that – guess what? When you do the play-action fake – you have to overcommit because of the way Derrick Henry is gashing you in the run game. So what does that leave open? Wide open in the back end, in the middle of the field, in between the hashes, the curls, the digs, the slants, because the linebackers have to overcommit. Now, if Ryan Tannehill is just straight drop back passing, where we know it's going to be a pass, and Ryan Tannehill has to thread that needle like an elite quarterback of Pat Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson can do, that's when all of a sudden you don't see elite play from Ryan Tannehill. See AFC title game last year against Kansas City Chiefs. They shut down the run game in the second half. What do we see? The Titans offense sputters. Ryan Tannehill struggles. So that's why I'm not a complete believer in Ryan Tannehill. Not because he's not playing well, but it's how they're playing well and how they're using him is what I'm talking about and what I'm alluding to.
All right, let's move on to another thing that is very intriguing that Landry and I were just talking about. This offense has flipped a switch as soon as Bill O'Brien left the building. Is it that simple?
I think that there is some credence to what you're saying, J-Lo, but I also think that we see that the Jacksonville Jaguars,
yeah,
they turned the ball over. They missed some field goals. That changed the complexity of the game. We see the Tennessee Titans. I believe that they're towards the bottom of the league, and I think third down conversions as far as getting off the field. Mm-hmm. We know the Jacksonville Jaguars, they don't play a lot of man-to-man coverage. J. Joe, you know what you're getting out of him. He's very solid, plays off man, will give up the underneath. He won't get beat deep. If it's an errant throw by the quarterback, he's going to make you pay for it. Malcolm Butler, we all know that he's up and down. He has two INTs on Tuesday Night Football against Josh Allen with the Buffalo Bills. And then on Sunday, he doesn't look that well playing against a Deshaun Watson and a Will Fuller and all those other guys. So I think that when you look at who the Texans have played over the last 2 weeks, I think that also give some credence to why the offense has done well. But yes, I do believe that with Bill O'Brien out of the building, that there is a huge weight lifted off of the shoulders of certain people on the offense side of the ball.
Because of that, because it does look like the offense is already playing better with Tim Kelly and with King Bill just leaving the building, I'm all in. My coaching list has come down to just, I just have one name on it right now. And I want to get your take on this. I think Robert Saleh of San Francisco is the guy, because I think this team needs a defensive guy, and then you can bring in either McDaniel or LaFleur, who are the run game and pass game coordinators under Shanahan. Am I foolish for thinking that Robert Saleh, not someone like Bieniemy or Roman or something like that, would be the right coach for the Texans, and then just bring in an offensive guy? But they need a defensive mind here in Houston more so than an offensive guy.
Well, I mean, Landry, you think that the Texas Longhorns are back, so we all know that your judgment is completely off the radar.
Never,
so
I'm not
surprised by any stretch that you would say Robert Saleh is the number one man for the job. If anything,
you think
Landry,
he stinks? You think he stinks?
No, I don't think he stinks. But I tell you this: has San Francisco's defense looked great this year?
Well, I mean, damn, dude. When you lose Bosa, D. Ford, Richard Sherman, and other guys, I mean, good Lord, Stan. What do you want him to do?
Let me see here. We saw how the Seattle Seahawks lost several players, and their defense still played good for
Bosa,
years after
D.
that.
Ford, and Richard Sherman, and other guys?
Landry, I heard you. We saw how the Seattle Seahawks lost Sherman.
Man, you're
and
just
they
playing. Now you're just playing devil's advocate.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Now you're
no,
just playing
no,
devil's advocate.
Okay, Landon.
We'll change
Landon,
the subject. J-Lo asked I like your analysis, but when you're in just
Landry,
devil's advocate, man, I'll set this up. J-Lo, you ask questions. Ask the questions so we can get the real analysis and not the devil's advocate. Go ahead, J-Lo. I'm sitting this one out.
Landry, just because you're talking loud doesn't mean that you're right. I'm going to go ahead and finish what I was about to say.
Oh, are you in a library or something? Are you in a library right now?
No, I'm not. I'm at my home, Landry. I will finish what I was saying. If you're going to go in and get a Robert Saleh, I could see why you would think that. That's not what I would go with. If you're going to get a Robert Saleh, you don't need to bring in a LaFleur or anybody to run the offense. Just go ahead and keep Tim Kelly because, like you said, the offense is now playing better over the last two games. I still believe that you go out and you go get Eric Bieniemy. You go get one of these offensive gurus to go ahead and elevate Deshaun Watson's game even higher than it has already ascended to in his short career. That's where I'm of the mindset. And then you find a guy that's a defensive coordinator to coordinate the defense. But you don't need to have that guy at the helm. I think you still need to have an offensive-minded guy running the show, being the head coach. That's all I'm saying. But Landry, once again, like I said, because you think the Texas Longhorns are back, that's why I cannot at all entertain or give a lot of credibility to your answers. But go ahead, J-Lo. Go right back at it.
Well, I actually looked up the defensive stats because I thought this was the case, that they were still playing pretty good without all those guys. They're currently fourth in the league in defense, total defense, and I think 10th in the league in scoring defense, the 49ers. So that's interesting on that. No, but
that is.
You both just had me thinking when you were talking about that. I want to ask you more about the personnel in particular, because I think you've been on a team that lost a coach midseason, correct?
Yes, I've been on a team that's lost a coach midseason. Yes, I have.
When do you check out? I mean, I know you're going to be a professional. You're going to play hard, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm talking about you're not playing with your hair on fire like playing with as many injuries and all that. When was that? Are the Texans going to reach that point?
Oh man, I can think of years where me personally and just other guys on the team where we probably checked out around week three, week four.
We
were ready to check out. the last week of the preseason, just because we knew exactly this some BS. Our coach, kind of like what you see what's going on in Dallas right now with a lot of the players speaking out on the coaching staff. But I think that that right there is indicative of who you have as the head coach and what type of a leader is he. Is he able to keep the locker room? Is he able to maintain everything like that as far as the connection with the players? But yes, there were years where I probably checked out mentally around week three or week four because I knew the BS that was going on along with other players on the team. But I think for this Houston Texans roster, I think that they like playing for Rack. I think that Deshaun Watson likes playing for Rack. I think J.J. Watt likes playing for Rack. So if the losing continues,
that's my point.
I would say that there's a good chance that the team may check out somewhere around the bye week or maybe soon thereafter. But if they can go ahead and get another win or two and actually see that, you know what, we probably won't win the division because Tennessee's going to run away with it, but we can go ahead and still make this thing very, very respectable and go ahead and knock off some wild card teams en route to go ahead and finishing out this season strong.
All right, Stan, let's get you off the fence, man. Let's get you off the fence.
Landry, I ain't been on the fence all day. Landry, come on now.
You've been doing good today. All right, I said this today. I think elite cheese is overrated. The gap between like just normal cheese and elite cheese is overrated. John Lopez, of course, being bad and bougie, disagrees. You're just as bad and bougie as J-Lo. Is elite cheese overrated?
At the risk of sounding like an idiot, what is elite cheese?
See, he's just being it's like he wants to put Velveeta on nachos rather than a good
not Velveeta,
Colby
a solid
Jack.
Deli cheese at H-E-B.
What I'm saying is, like, if you ever had a good Gouda, a good Gruyere, a good Manchego,
what the hell is he talking about?
He thinks that cheese is basically what he's saying.
I mean, Gouda and all that stuff you're talking about, J-Lo, I've never had it. I'm cheddar cheese and American cheese. That's
Thank
it.
You. There you go. Thank you. Man of the people, Stanford Brown. Thank you. Right. Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers?
Four.
Who's better?
Who's better?
Oh, Aaron Rodgers throws just as many touchdowns and not nearly the amount of interceptions.
All right, we know you like Pepsi. Bottle or can?
Oh, you know it.
Bottle, can, or fountain?
Oh, now see that right there, that's intricate. That's very intricate.
It's intricate.
I prefer to go ahead and with my dinner, if I'm eating at home, I prefer to go ahead and have a bottle of Pepsi because I feel like it tastes a little bit better.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm not eating, I'll go ahead and I'll accept a can of Pepsi. Now, if we're talking about places like, let's say, Taco Bell or another place that or Applebee's, then you know what? Oh, I'm perfectly fine with that fountain because it's something about the way that they mix it at their fountain that those
darn
establishments.
Right. You're darn
that,
right.
Oh, yeah. Please. So it depends on the time and the place as far as whether it's bottle, can, or fountain, Landry. Very interesting.
We see a lot of selfies on your social media. There's always a nice fade going. There's always a nice pressed beard.
Oh, God.
There's always a nice pressed beard. If Stanford Brout had to either shave his head or not be able to grow a beard, what would he go with?
Oh, wow. I would have to go with I would choose to not grow a beard because in my second year in the league, I actually wound up splitting my head open on a cabinet in my kitchen out in Oakland, my second year in the league. And if I cut my hair short, you can still see the scar. It's almost kind of like a permanent part in my hair.
Man.
So I would go with not growing a beard because if my hair is low, especially if I'm bald, you can see that scar going all the way from the top of my forehead all the way to like the middle of my of the crown of my head. So I would go with not having the beard.
Man, you cut it.
All right, there we go. I don't want to get you out of here on this. What's y'all's record this year, St. Thomas?
Right now we are 2-2.
All right. So I'm talking to a 500 coach right now.
I'm sorry, Landry. What's your team?
I know where this is going. All right, Stan. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Grapevine, Texas.
All right, Stan.
Grapevine.
All right,
Stan. Get out of here, Landry.
You're out of here. Stan, talk to you next week. Right. Get out of here.
All right, man.
All right. You guys be good, man. Be safe.
Stan for route.
So when do his players quit on him? Stan.
Let's go around the NFL. You heard Stan just mention the drama in Dallas. Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback for the Pack, he weighed in on the issues with Dallas and his former coach, Mike McCarthy. He fired some shots. You'll hear him next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.